happening live here at Microsoft Ignite. We are now going to take a little bit step back and think about some of the things, again, that we saw inside of the keynote. And the first one of those that we're going to do is actually start thinking about, some of those demos around mobile application management. And in order to be able to do that, I'm joined by Terrell Cox, Principal Program Manager from the Enterprise Client Management Group. And, all of the stuff that we saw around the iOS app, that's your team.
Yes. We're part of it, right? I mean, it takes a lot of teams working in collaboration to pull something like that off. But so my role, basically, I'm part of the engineering team. I'm part of Microsoft Intune. And the team that I work on, we build all of the device-side experiences. So we built the SDK that was incorporated into Outlook that provided that great management capability that Brad demoed during the keynote.
So before we go too far into the SDK, let's just step back and just explain what mobile application management is to folks who maybe don't understand what mobile application management, or what sometimes is called MAM, actually is.
Right. Yes, ma'am. We did our first release of Mobile Application Management, or MAM, at the end of last year. And we've been working on it for a while. It's just a really compelling set of scenarios. And if you think back to what was the genesis of MAM, it was based on a wealth of feedback from customers where they said, you know, look, we've got a set of devices that we really need to control and lock down, and they're corporate owned, and we really want to take care of those. And mobile device management is great for that. But they said there's also a whole set of devices that are more, they're personal owned, they're BYOD, or we just need to do light management on them. We don't need to really lock that whole thing down. And at that point, all I want to do as an IT professional is manage the app. I want to manage the app and the data and ensure that it's protected and that my end users are productive. And I guess, so that's really where it came from.
And I think it's important as well that we have to build capabilities now that work on a great number of platforms. We're not just building for Windows anymore, and I think that's the real thing there. It's much more, that must be a much bigger challenge, because we don't have the ability, we have the ability to change Windows. People might not kind of think about it in that place, but we can basically do what we want with Windows. That's not the case with other people's platforms.
Well, no. And, you know, I mean, I definitely feel like Satya has set out this great vision for us, and it's really around, you know, mobile first, cloud first, and Microsoft Intune is living the dream there, you know? And we need to meet our customers where they're at. So I think the MAM SDK is a great example of this. There's all this rich functionality that you get built in directly with Windows 10 EDP that'll be coming out. And in that case, you don't need to use an SDK. The role that Intune plays is we define the policies, we set the settings, and we configure the apps directly. Now, on iOS and Android, they don't have that same level of support. So what we had to do there is we had to build. If it's available in the platform, we take advantage of it. But if it's not there, then we make sure our customers get the scenarios they need.
So presumably there's certain things on, say, iOS that are there that just aren't on Android. So the one that comes to mind is being able to leverage managed OpenIn in order to be able to control app interaction. That's just not there on Android to the same level.
Right. It's a different paradigm on Android. So they use intent-based management, and with Android for Work, there's some capability there. But definitely iOS kind of has a richer experience around open-end management. Well, and that's what we hear from customers is, look, I'm no longer a single platform shop. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to be able to support Windows Phone, iOS, Android, or some mix thereof. And so the value proposition that we have for customers is we'll give you a consistent layer of management across all of your devices, all of the different platforms, and then you can ensure the right level of protection across all of them.
Yeah, and I think that really is the key thing. It's about protection. It's about protecting those corporate assets. And almost every single customer conversation I've had, and I've just come from doing a bunch of customer conversations, everybody actually just wants the ability to make sure that people can work safely and securely. And it's empowering to see that, particularly in the apps like the Outlook app for iOS that Brad demoed during the keynote, that actually, well, that was pretty phenomenal. I think there was some real subtlety in what he was actually doing there. So can you take us through some of that strategy a little bit?
I would love to talk about it. That honestly, I'm so excited about Outlook coming out. And when we first released MAM last year, we rolled out with support in OneDrive, Word, Excel, PowerPoint. But then customers are just, they've been demanding Outlook. Yeah. It's the killer app. And this is also just a great example, and we'll be releasing OneDrive multi-identity support soon. I think the multi-identity piece of Outlook is the truly compelling. It's a great example of where Microsoft is taking a truly differentiated point of view. We have a clearness of vision as to what is the experience we want to enable. And Libby, if you don't mind, let me take a step back.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of people have heard the data around, 80 or 90% of end users are using a non-approved SaaS app. They admit it, you know? I mean, there's probably plenty of people at this conference are doing that too, right?
Those kind of apps,
And I would never admit that myself. But anyway, I mean, and it's not that they're bad people, you know? They, of course, they're not out there trying to leak corporate IP. They're just trying to get their jobs done.
Yeah.
And they're doing what they take to be productive. Now, what we believe at Microsoft, and this is in close collaboration across EMS, across Office, Office 365, and Windows, is that if we give the end user a great experience and make it super easy for them to do their jobs and protect corporate IP, that's the best experience. And so multi-identity is a shining example of that. So Windows 10 EDP has rich multi-identity support built in. And through our SDK for MAM in iOS and Android, Outlook is a great example of this. It enables you to move fluidly between your work accounts and your personal accounts. And I mean, let's face it, you're always multitasking, right?
I'm always inside of Outlook on my Android phone, and I'm going between my personal and my work. And on Android,
exactly.
The app actually combines the two and gives me this focused inbox, which is great. But sometimes I don't know which is personal email.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. I hate to admit it, but there will be times when you're in, you're doing email or you're doing something else, and you just open up an email, and you don't realize you're in your personal context, right? And you're copying and pasting, you're going back and forth, you're multitasking. And the great thing about the MAM protection is that you won't accidentally copy and paste corporate IP into a personal context.
Yeah.
But the other great thing, too, is that when you're in your personal email and you're emailing your mom or something like that, we don't put any restrictions on you at that point. And it's built in just very fluidly and seamlessly. Yeah. It just works the way it should.
It does. It's kind of, it is very interesting because I like being able to email my mom from my work account because I'm quite often just sat at work in front of my email because we all are. But when I'm on my mobile device, I can't tell you the amount of times that I've tried to schedule a meeting or send somebody an email inside of Microsoft, and it's come from my Outlook.com account.
It's really a little
frustrating.
Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It really is. And I think that's one of the coolest things about this. It actually is going to help stop user embarrassment as well as stopping corporate embarrassment from data leaking, which is very, very neat.
Well, and other things too. Like we can make sure that if you're in your corporate email, you open up corporate email and there's an attachment, it'll automatically open in a managed app. Whereas, I'm emailing with my best friend and we're planning some activity on Friday night and she sends me, like a picture of the restaurant and I can open it in whatever app I want. And so it's just not going to be an issue. It protects us from ourselves.
Yeah. It's that kind of self-protection, which I think is one of the intelligent things that's coming from the software. Excuse me.
You want a sip of water, Simon?
Yeah, I think I'm okay now. So how does that ad actually work when we're taking information from the personal or stopping information from going from the corporate to the private, the personal kind of container?
Oh, sure.
How does it kind of kick in underneath?
Well, this is really where Microsoft is in a unique position because we have the complete stack. So through the close integration that we've done with Azure AD and really focusing in on identity, as well as Office 365, the integration with the Office app, so Outlook in this case and our SDK, we completely key off of the account. Mm-hmm. So it works this way in Outlook. It's going to work this way with OneDrive as well. And it's really about, what is the account that email has been written with, is opening up into? And then similarly, when it comes to storage, so the folder, if you will, is that keyed off of a corporate account or a personal account?
And I guess one of the things that lots of folks look to an MDM solution for and a MAM solution for as well is to be able to deal with that situation that happens pretty much inevitably, where somebody loses their device.
Oh.
They leave it in a bar, or it goes somewhere. What's going to happen in that set of situations? Am I going to be in a situation where, because I've got the app corporate enrolled, suddenly I'm going to lose all my personal emails from that machine?
No.
Presume we fix that.
Yeah, No. We'll take good care of you.
Okay.
So the great thing about MAM and multi-identity, and this was actually released as part of V1. This was the first, most people don't realize it, but the first multi-identity scenario we released was selective wipe.
Uh-huh.
And what that does is it enables you to wipe all of the corporate data and the apps, in most cases, except for Office, because we special cased that one based on the fact that most people use that for personal.
Yeah.
And then we leave all of your personal stuff behind. So you aren't going to lose your baby pictures. You're not going to lose, you know, the emails from your dad. You're good.
Yeah. It's all going to be nice and safe on my device, which is exactly what I want. And one of the things that, obviously, Brad on the keynote, he was showing the iOS application, mm-hmm. also coming along for Android in roughly the same time frame, I think.
That's right.
As the iOS app. So
that's right. And this gets back to, you know, we're a cross-platform company. Mm-hmm. We need to meet our customers where they are, and they're on a plethora of devices.
Yeah, they are all over the place, which is the real advantage. So, when you start to think about Intune and thinking a little bit more generally, why are we building in the features that we are, and why are we building everything into the cloud first?
Oh yeah, that's a really good question. We've been getting that one a lot from customers. So. I would say, you know, kind of back to Satya's vision for the company, mobile first, cloud first. One of the great things about being a cloud service is that we can release very, very rapidly. And so I don't know, most people may not realize this, but Microsoft Intune moved to a monthly release cadence starting early at the beginning of this year. And, you know, previously, when we were working on these long release cycles, and you know, you think about on-prem products, the way an engineering team would work is we'd plan out the list of scenarios we were going to work on, and then you start working on them, right? So you get a scenario done, you wrap it up, it's quality met, you put it on the shelf. Then you do the next one, you put it on the shelf. And then you get to the end of the release, and you package them all up, and you ship them. Well, now with the monthly release cycle, we can just deliver them as soon as they're ready. And that's what we're doing, right? When the quality's there, when the scenario is complete, we just go ahead and give them to customers. Mm. Now, the flip side of that is our hybrid scenario, so where you have Intune connector connected up to SCCM. And really, we're trying to take the same philosophy and approach there, but because there is an on-prem aspect of that and there's on-prem infrastructure, you're just not going to deploy that out nearly as quickly. Just customers don't want to, and then for us, we just don't have that same level of cadence. So I think Brad was talking about this in his interview yesterday. So there's a whole approach that we can do where we can weave. So we call them weave packs.
Yeah.
So there's a set of things that we can update just via updates, and we leverage the SCCM native extensibility. Mm-hmm. And everything that we can deliver scenario-wise, we take advantage of that. And then we're investing more so that we can deliver additional scenarios that way. But then if it's something that's deeper tissue work, if you will, then we'll release it in the next service pack, or sometimes we need to release or wait for the next major release.
So one of the things, I guess, that enterprises can start doing is looking to the features that are coming in Intune and then actually thinking, well, we're going to be wanting to deploy that, so how do we start to bring that into our planning cycle? The fact that we know these things are coming, therefore, we know we're going to have to do an update to ConfigMan.
Oh, I
and
see.
It starts to become like a part of their process if they start to embrace it.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I think one of the necessary pieces of releasing at a faster cadence is we're being more and more transparent. So, you know, we released an update to our roadmap recently. We continue, I don't know if people realize this, but, you know, we have a monthly blog that talks about these are the things that we've released and things that are coming your way. And so the idea is that you can plan for this yourselves as a customer and decide, okay, here's how I want to roll this out. And then really our goal is just to be less, play it close to the chest. We're just doing a lot more, okay, here's where we think this is going to come out.
So I've got kind of two questions. The first one is, how do we actually come up with the scenarios that we're building for? Where does that inspiration, that piece of information that that kind of is the kernel of that thought for where you guys come from.
Sure. You know, I don't want to sound repetitive, but honestly, it's predominantly from customer feedback, you know? And the greatest innovations that I've been a part of since I've been working at Microsoft, they've all been grounded deeply in listening to customers, really understanding their needs, understanding their wants, and then thinking about, okay, well, what's that extra special thing I can do to make it even more delightful, you know? And sometimes it's just really simple fixes that we put together, and then other times it's things like MAM, where, you know, that's a big major investment, but that really did come from, hey, I have this problem, can you help me solve it?
Yeah, it's the, and I guess that problem was our users just aren't enrolling their devices because they think that we're going to take too much control.
Right.
Probably the place it came from, I would think.
Right. And, you know, I mean, just I'll give you another example of a scenario we can enable with MAM. So, you know, on my iPad, I want to be able to back up to iTunes and iCloud. I mean, just, you know, So I've got everything up there, all my personal stuff, I can get it if I need it. But my IT department does not want me to do that, right? I mean, God forbid that my corporate IP is getting backed up to the cloud. So what you can do as an IT pro is you can create the policy where the device can back up, but the apps can't. And that gives a lot more flexibility.
It's very clever that we can actually be as granular as that. I hadn't thought about the fact that that was actually a sensible thing to be thinking about. I almost always say, hey, you should be blocking back up to the cloud, but actually you're right, as an end user, that's going to kind of cripple my ability to be productive personally.
True.
So, yeah.
Back to the whole, you don't want to lose your pictures.
Yeah.
I've got another one. Do you want to hear my other favorite?
Yeah.
Okay, so my other favorite one is my daughter loves to play games on my phone, and there's a set of games that, for whatever reason, trigger the device pin. They involve a camera, typically, you know, and so what that means is I can't put them in the kids' corner, and so she's always like, can you do your pen and do your pen, and what I would prefer is I don't want a device pen at all, and then I just pen on the app, right?
Yeah.
And there is that capability with MAM.
Yeah,
so
that's one of the.
You can say don't configure it on the device, but anytime I open up one of my corporate apps, I enter my pen.
Yeah, because our actual MAM, I want to use the phrase. Container, but really it's policy. I just want to use that to relate it to folks. But our MAM policies actually mean that the data can be encrypted on the device, and it doesn't matter what device we're actually using there. We've got some form of encryption. And I think I'm right that iOS is FIPS 140-2 compliant out of the box. So that's pretty awesome, actually. But what do we do for Android in that situation? Because there's no inbuilt encryption mechanism on Android.
That's compelling. So on iOS, we rely on the native encryption capabilities there. On Android, we roll our own.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, luckily, we've got this great wealth of assets in Microsoft that we can draw upon there. So, you know, that's, if you need that, this is a great example of where I was saying, if it's in the platform, we leverage it, and if it's not, we build it, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing that you have to start thinking in that particular way. I mean, sort of, only say maybe 5 years ago, it's not something that we would have had to have really thought about. We would have just built for one primary platform. So.
Well, and Android's a great example because, you know, so often people are trading their SD cards out.
Yeah.
And so if you allow them, and this is a setting we can do as well, you can't save as, but if you let them save as to the device, you want to make sure that's encrypted.
Yeah.
It's like a walk away.
Yeah, absolutely. You never want to be in a situation where they can kind of lose that card. It would be very, very tricky. So we've had kind of a question come in from somebody out there, which was, do we have the capability to deploy apps from the Apple Store that aren't actually free applications? So we can deploy apps that are free applications now in the Apple App Store.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to rephrase that question to make it make a little bit more sense. How do we make kind of applications that are in the store aware of the MAM containers? And how do we make applications that aren't in the store aware of those containers?
Aware of MAM?
Yeah.
Okay.
About the, what's the, if I was...
Oh, sure. No. I think okay. I know where you're headed yeah. with this. Okay. So in terms of, you know, we have great built-in MAM capability with Office, and we're actually working across Microsoft to add this capability into all of Microsoft Enterprise apps. So we actually already, Workfolders
yeah.
is a recent app that came out. So that one we're slowly but surely going through. In terms of the broader ecosystem, today there's already an app wrapper tool that's available. My team built that, and that's available for your line of business apps. So that would enable you to cut, copy, paste, to share data with the MAM-managed Office apps right now.
Yeah.
And then for third-party ISV, where they want to do more than just wrap it, you want to have more of a tighter knit integration with our work, we have an SDK that's available for third parties. It's in preview right now. If anybody wants to participate, just email me. And then we hope to GA that very soon.
Cool. And, I'm right in thinking that just like with other platforms, you can't be a mobile app developer and take the wrapper and wrap your application and publish it to the store?
You could, actually. Oh, okay. The reason why we recommend the wrapper for line of business apps is more because as an IT pro, you might be in violation of the EULA. For right. that, for a third-party app.
Okay.
So actually, usually we're engaged with a bunch of ISVs right now as part of our preview program for the SDK. And the first step we always recommend is wrap it.
Yeah.
And see, like, does that give you all the integration that you need? And if it does, you're great.
Okay.
But for things like multi-identity, you'll want to use the SDK because that requires the app to actually interact with us and let us know which account mm-hmm. the data is being used for. So there's certain scenarios where the SDK is the way to go.
So what kind of other approaches are there to being able to kind of think about the security of devices and apps on the devices? Is there anything that's actually kind of that we're thinking about, something that would be very useful for us to do?
Oh, that's a really broad question.
Is there anything that would that we kind of often seeing customers that the customers are doing there maybe that would actually, if they didn't do that, make it easier for them to be able to deploy something like applications that are a little bit more secure? Are they?
Oh, sure.
Are they kind of over securing devices with MDM? Are they kind of doing anything around?
You know, here's the thing that I would actually say. It's maybe the antithesis of your question, but one of the questions that we're getting a lot from customers, because people are so excited to hear about MAM and the integration with Office and different things like that. There's a lot of confusion right now around what does app management mean
yeah.
in a mobile world, you know? And there's just some basic capabilities that all of the platforms, iOS, Android, of course, Windows and Windows Phone, provide around deploying the apps, managing their updates, uninstalling the app, inventory, those types of things. Wipe. Right, so any app that's deployed via the MDM channel, once you revoke that, then it naturally cleans up the data after itself. And so if really all you need is basic app management, you want to do the deployment, you want to do the wipe of that data, email is a good example. So if you deploy an email profile for your corporate account, you can revoke that via the MDM channel in iOS, and that essentially gets rid of any access to corporate email.
So that kind of makes me think about what would you do in the situation where you were using another productivity application,
mm-hmm.
And it happened to be another productivity application that was that had our SDK integration in it for some reason, but then you decided to move to Office.
Mm-hmm.
Could you uninstall the application from the devices without having to remote wipe all of the MAM applications?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. In Intune today, you can deploy apps and you can revoke them. And, you know, it just works.
And it's the exact same process with a MAM application. There's nothing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's pretty
good. Yeah.
So where else inside of Intune do you think there's features that folks don't really know that much about? What are the other things where you kind of think?
Sort of the hidden gems, yeah. if you will. One question I was asked several times, I've been in a lot of customer discussions this week, was just around, we just bought a bunch of new devices and we really want to get those out quickly and we want to provision them in the same way. And I think one of the things that people don't realize is that we do have a bulk enrollment capability, you know? And so how that works is basically you can enroll the device for management using a service account. And then you can get everything configured, you can apply policy down to it, and then the first time the user logs on, that's when they get the opportunity to personalize it. And so that's great for a situation where you have a bunch of corporate-owned devices that you're trying to roll out, for example, retail, if you want to roll out a bunch of iPads or something like that. And then IT can do all the work of setting them up in a global way, and then just hand them out to do the final touches for the user.
And we've also got integration with Apple's DEP program as well.
Right.
Which I think is kind of, I was at an event and somebody was calling out, actually asking for, do you have DEP enablement inside
yes.
of the application? It's actually really cool that we do. You would kind of think that maybe we have this strange relationship where we wouldn't actually enable that with Apple, but actually it's kind of cool that we have that functionality in there.
Well, and I really think that the philosophy we're going after now at Microsoft is, you know, may the best solution win,
yeah.
right? And we definitely believe that the solution that we have around the full Microsoft Office 365, Office, Windows, EMS, we believe the integration with that and the experience with that, the protection you're going to get is better, of course, right?
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily going to use us for everything. That's okay. We want to make sure that you can get your job done and protect your corporate data, regardless of the platform.
And I was also one of those other hidden gems that I know is in there, and I was having a conversation about this a little earlier, is actually we have the ability to do something which most other platforms don't have, which is the ability to send out any custom OMA URI to a machine. So
we were just talking about that.
Yes.
Weren't we?
The ability to literally look at a device's MDM protocol specification and then send it the correct strings in order to be able to do things.
Right.
And it's that kind of real nitty-gritty depth kind of ability that most MDM manufacturers actually haven't got around to building yet.
Mm-hmm.
We've already got it in there, which is kind of cool because we can immediately use it to do things with Windows 10,
sure.
even though we've not built parts of the UI for that yet.
Well, and that's actually a nice example of what we were talking about in terms of we'll ship a scenario when it's ready.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's often the first way that we light up new capabilities as there are platform new versions coming out. And so that's the way we'll light them up. That's the way we can support it. And then as we build the user experience, you know, the admin console work, and if there's any service side changes that we need to make, then we can make the prettier solution and release that later.
Yeah, we can get the UI guys to go in there and make it look really nice and they can work on all that stuff and just make the application look just nice and easy.
Lovely.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because we're in a situation where the Intune portal looks easy to navigate now. It looks nice and simple. We've got the new modern UI on it. And if you haven't taken a look at Intune for the past, few months, it's changed completely. So it's time to go back and have a look, and you'll very quickly and very easily start to see that it's visually very different to where it was just a few months ago.
I'm so glad you brought that up. We worked really hard on that. It was kind of internally, it was called codename Project Pretty. There was a lot more to it than that, of course, but it really was, okay, we need to give the console a facelift. We need to make it more compelling. We need to make it more useful. And so the dashboard experience that you see when you first open it up, it's more alive. It gives you the data that you need right when you need it. And it's more this modern experience that we're driving for at Microsoft.
Cool. Terrell, thank you very much for joining us on the
Thank
Channel
you.
9 live stage. We're going to hand back over to the live stage down in the theater here for the next session.